I'm Christopher Springman, and this is Body Language. Do you have health concerns about fracking, a controversial process that has made the extraction of shale gas economical through the injection of a highly pressurized hydraulic fracturing fluid, which creates new channels in the rock, increasing the ultimate recovery of valuable hydrocarbons? Well, if so, our next guest shares your concerns. He is Dr. Bernard D. Goldstein, M.D., Professor of Environmental and Occupational Health at the University of Pittsburgh Graduate School of Public Health, and a presenter at the Society of Toxicology's annual meeting this March in San Antonio, Texas. Dr. Goldstein, it's great to have you on Body Language.
Great to be here. Thank you, Christopher.
The title of your session is Human Health and Environmental Concerns Around Natural Gas Production Using Hydraulic Fracturing, Sometimes Called Fracking. Dr. Goldstein, please tell us a little about the session and what people will learn.
Well, what we hope people will learn is what the potential risks might be from hydraulic fracturing, as well as how toxicologists approach these risks.
You said in an article that first, there will be surprises. Fracking has already been linked to bromide in water, and brominated compounds are potentially highly toxic. You asked the question, will there be radioactivity or arsenic released into the groundwater of thousands of natural gas sources cause us to exceed the EPA's ozone standard, thereby requiring pollution controls? These are very serious concerns.
Well, there are questions that have to be addressed. We're happy to see that there's some movement in addressing these questions, but they're basic toxicological questions that have to do with whether or not doses that could be poisonous will be exceeded of these various chemicals that are involved in the fracturing or the chemicals that are brought up from underground, and whether or not there's a exposure to humans or to ecosystems to these chemicals. But as with any new technology or evolving technology, there are risks.
And speaking of those risks, what are the toxicological concerns with respect to hydraulic fracturing and the most pressing that you will be discussing at the Society of Toxicology annual meeting?
Well, first you start with putting a group of chemicals into the water. So they are about a half or 1%, perhaps a little bit more, of the total water that's put down underground. There may be as much as 5 million gallons of water in a hydrofracturing procedure, so that even though it's only a half or 1.5% of the total water, it's still a lot of chemicals. So we've got to be concerned about these chemicals that are put down below. There are literally hundreds that have been used through the years. This is evolving. There are relatively fewer that are used now as the industry gets better and better at doing this. What's of concern, of course, is the what's brought up from underground.
And what is that?
Well, first we've got those wonderful hydrocarbons which we're aiming for, the natural gas. Sometimes they're what we call wet gas that has more of the higher molecular weight compounds, so it's a little closer to petroleum. And things like benzene and toluene and xylene are present, particularly in the wet gas. Other areas, some areas of the country have wet gas, some have dry gas, which is mostly just the methane. Then we're worried about what it's brought up from underground. There's lots of wonderful things in that old seabed on which this natural gas was trapped in the shale layer. These include lots of brine, lots of salt, and some of the salt levels are far exceed what one would be allowed to discharge anywhere. So one has to deal with them very carefully because they'll ruin ecosystems.
You've also indicated that there are disease occurrences in communities that may occur. In fact, you say it is a statistical certainty that an increase in disease diagnoses, may it be pancreatic cancer, autism, well, or whatever, will happen after this specific area, the Marcellus Shale, when these drilling activities begin. You're obviously very concerned about this.
No, I'm sorry if I wasn't as clear as I should be in what I've written. My point is that diseases occur in clusters. They occur just by chance. There'll be an apartment building where suddenly there'll be five people who all come down with the same disease. That's a chance occurrence. This is no different than if you started flipping coins and said, well, if I flip on coins often enough, I'll get 10 heads in a row, and sure, you will. If you consider the number of communities that will suddenly have these drilling operations going on, the number of different diseases that might occur in these clusters, inevitably there's going to be a cluster that will be statistically significant, in the sense that that it's more likely than one chance in 20 to occur, for reasons that we need to evaluate, and we'll be evaluating those based upon the public's concern that, oh my goodness, we didn't have any kids with autism, or we didn't have this pancreatic cancer.
Oh, so one in one.
This thing, until we saw that big drill rig go up, it must be due to the drill rig. And when that happens, and that happens frequently around the country for lots of different reasons, when that happens, the public legitimately is concerned. Property values go down, the media get involved, and as they should, lawyers get involved, so very often the information is tied up in litigation, and it's very difficult at that point to really answer the questions that have been raised about, is this cluster of adverse events related to the fracking operation through some sort of toxicological interface. Some chemical has gotten out, radiation has gotten out, has caused this. We believe that it's very important to nail this down as much as possible beforehand, to basically have the information about what the potential exposures are, so we can respond in a way that's appropriate to either reassure the public or to say to the public, no, there may be something here. Let's go look at it even more closely. But without that information, it will be hard to do the reassurance that is mostly going to be necessary, because most of these will occur by chance alone.
Doctor, how will you explain to the audience at the annual meeting in San Antonio, Texas, what the data gaps are and how we and they can go about resolving these?
Well, the data gaps are partly due to the fact that they're not a lot of information being released, so that it's hard to know what's being done in each location and what the potential risks may be. That's improving with some, at least on the side of the hydraulic fracturing chemicals, and that industry has become much more willing to share that information, although not completely so. And there are a number of state laws which require the sharing of the information of what hydraulic fracturing chemicals are put down deep underground. My particular concern, and I can't speak for the society, but is not so much the hydraulic fracturing chemicals that are put underground, but it's what's brought up from below and must be disposed of somewhere. You mentioned before about surprises, where I pointed out about the brominated compounds. I've enjoyed the fact that I've actually been given credit for predicting the next surprise, which was earthquakes.
What is the degree of responsibility that you believe that members of the Society of Toxicology have when they are dealing with these commercial and environmental issues?
I think to give the best scientific judgment possible as to the potential risks and benefits of the effort. So we're scientists. We must stick to the facts, and we must be able to provide the information that the public needs to move forward.
Our guest has been Dr. Bernard D. Goldstein, M.D., Professor of Environmental and Occupational Health at the University of Pittsburgh Graduate School of Public Health, and former Assistant Administrator for Research and Development at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. You can learn more about Dr. Goldstein's presentation at the Society of Toxicology annual meeting in March at toxicology.org. That's toxicology.org. I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language.